Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 349th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia, and we are finally back.
That's right. Back to business. I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and a professor at the University of Alberta. And today, James, it's a bloody topic.
Oh, it is a bloody topic. But first, I would like to apologize on behalf of Mike.
Okay.
Who's been away, sort of, doing all
sorts of... Yeah, I've been on sabbatical and been going away intermittently, and then recently had a spill on my bicycle.
Yes.
That
set you back a little bit.
Right, and my wife has decided I'm never allowed to ride a bicycle again.
Yes, or leave the house.
Which is probably pretty reasonable given my track record. But anyhow, we digress. This is a tools for practice topic, and it's come up a number of times for our team, mm-hmm. as well as you'll see it on campaigns like Choose Wisely and that kind of thing. And it's all around the use of certain lab tests, and in particular, the one that we addressed first was the CBC test. And not for CBC if, you know, you're concerned Mrs. Jones may be anemic or what have you. This is a CBC for screening. So patient comes in for their periodic health assessment, if you're still doing those, and you're ordering, you've done some assessment of risk and you think that it's appropriate to order a bone mineral density or send for occult blood screening or fit testing, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. all of it. But do you order a CBC with that? And it sounds kind of crazy, maybe for some of you, but it's and then others, it might be crazy because it's such standard practice. And we know that there's a lot of research showing that up to 70% of primary care clinicians would order a CBC for a 55-year-old simply for screening.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it kind of makes you feel good if you don't really know what you're doing.
Well,
you know, and I mean that in the nicest of ways, in that, you know, why not, let's just go look, just check. Let's, you know, and it's kind of go back to some of the stuff that we've talked about before, like with the, you know, doing, you know, annual physicals. You know,
right. In general about them, right?
It feels like it should be a good idea. And absolutely. In fact, it would be a good idea if all of our tests were way better.
Maybe. Or more specific, right?
Yeah.
The trouble with the CBC is it's so broad. But mm-hmm. anyhow, we'll get to that in a second. So we call it, the CBC is a confusing broad check. This is mm-hmm. a tools for practice from May 15th. And I did this article with Jennifer Young, who's a family physician and an emergency doctor in Ontario. But anyhow, let's jump to it. So the question is this is specifically for screening. So what's the evidence for screening with a CBC for asymptomatic non-pregnant adults? So there is a systematic review of 16 RCTs for the periodic health exam. And in four of those RCTs, the CBC or a component of the CBC was included as part of the screening maneuvers. So about a quarter of the RCTs that have done periodic health checks have used CBC as part of the program. And they never, they didn't make any effect on cancer-specific mortalities like colon cancer, et cetera, and no overall effect on mortality, no reduction in mortality. So that leaves us with the question of, well, it's mixed in. Are these studies great? And the answer is, if you look at the RCTs that have examined the periodic health exam, the preponderance of them are not strong. So then we have to go kind of rooting around. And you have to look at ones where they've done population screening with a CBC alone. Then you look at ones where they've done the use of CBC for case finding. And that's, case finding is this, you've probably run across this, James, mm-hmm. the term case finding.
Yeah.
I find it somewhat of an irritating term. It's often used to describe looking for illness in high-risk people, but people you don't necessarily have a clear justification for ordering CBC. So you're not thinking that they have a lymphoma. You're not thinking that they have a bloodborne cancer.
It's kind of like looking for cases in people that we perceive to be higher risk, even though they don't have the real I mean, I guess signs and symptoms that would really make you think they had something.
Yeah, so someone presents with a sore knee, so you order a CBC on
them. Right, yeah.
And, you know, not necessarily an acutely swollen knee with hot red, nothing like that.
Because that would be then, you know, you're going to measure something that might be marginally useful to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This isn't somebody who's coming in and saying, I'm incredibly fatigued and I've been fatigued, or I'm pooping blood or something like that. This is patients with not necessarily related conditions who you're testing their CBC. And that's also been used in hospital admissions and for pre-op screening. So let's kind of go through some of that information. There was a population study done on just over 1,000 non-pregnant women aged 20 to 64. And it was found that 11% of them were anemic.
Yeah. And we may talk about this, and we're going to probably sometime in the next two or three podcasts going to do a bit of a deep dive into the whole concept of lab tests. And so, you know, in these cases, they did find 11% had a hemoglobin less than 120.
Right.
But that, which would be defined as anemic, but it doesn't even necessarily mean they're anemic, but it's how we check to see if someone's anemic, if that makes any sense.
Right. And some of them would be anemic, truly anemic, which, let's even be clear, would have iron deficiency anemia, a small a proportion of that 11%. Now, interestingly, none had colon cancer, which is really what you'd be hunting for there.
Right.
And lots of hematologists will get up and say that women who are of childbearing age are it's very common for them to have low hemoglobin or particularly low iron stores and et cetera. So how viable these findings are in asymptomatic people, questionable, but nothing really concerning was found.
Yeah. Which is, and just so people, and just to sort of put it into the context, because I think to make sure people understand, if these are otherwise healthy people. So,
right.
You know, if you were suspecting something based on some other, you know, signs and symptoms or whatever it was, that's a different thing. I think you've made it read very clear. This isn't people otherwise healthy. Now, it is useful to find out that these 11% of people are anemic, but they were asymptomatic.
Right.
You know what
I mean? So you can't make them better often. Like, this isn't people who, and a number of them, and that's the problem. A number are not actually truly anemic. It's just a false finding on this test. So, or it's not the finding's false, but our interpretation of calling them anemic is false based on the way tests are designed. So, and James, you will explain all that in nauseating detail
In subsequent podcasts. But just bottom line, and I think you and I talked about this a little bit a while ago. You know, if you do, for example, 15 tests, there's roughly a 50% chance one will be abnormal
with no disease.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's the tricky part. So in this case, you know, they've done, they've screened a whole bunch of non-pregnant women, and 11% were found to be anemic, which is, you know, that might be not much above what you just find by chance alone anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
let's talk about case finding studies, and there are a ton of those. Mm-hmm. Which unfortunately, there's not a lot of screening ones, but there's a ton of case finding. So there's a 1987 review that was done that I found, and it had seven observational studies, and the evidence does not show a benefit in identifying mildly mild asymptomatic abnormalities. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there was a study with just shy of 800 ambulatory patients who got 475 leukocyte tests done. Again, 11% were abnormal, but no important asymptomatic disease was identified. So they, even though we were finding lots of abnormal tests, they were probably just variations in the individual, a bad day, all sorts of things for that person. There were four other tests. Four other studies, and there were about 600 patients done with different components of the CBC. But of course, if you had a white cell count plus a hemoglobin, that would count as two tests. So they had 1,540 CBC components. 6.4% were abnormal. 1.2% of those were investigated, and 0.2% led to a change in management. Others found very similar. So we're talking about, you know, one in 500 leading to a change in management,
yeah.
but a whole bunch of positives. And I actually went through, James, and I sent you a copy of this where I broke down the actual kind of.
I thought you were just going to say you broke down.
Yeah.
You just openly wept. at the futility of medicine.
I thought we weren't going to, my therapist said it wasn't good to bring that up at this stage.
Maybe later in a few months when you've come to grips with it.
Just as long as you don't air this part.
No, I'll absolutely cut it. So if you actually hear this, it's a mistake.
Okay, good. I know, you're so compassionate. Okay. So this was a 1,500 tests. That, if you want to go into the details, about 300 hemoglobins, about 500 MCVs, 250 leukocytes, and 500 platelets or so. And 98 of them were abnormal, 6%, as I said. 10 returned to normal right away on repeat testing. 5, when they dug, could be explained by underlying conditions they already knew they had. 83 were unexplained. That went. They followed them for 15 months. 49 of the 83 that were unexplained returned to normal. So about 60-something percent. 15 persisted as abnormal, but no disease was present. And these are that population probably that have a normal, their normal, let's say, mean cell volume is slightly high or slightly low, mm-hmm. just beyond the cusp of the cutoff. They then followed up with another 4 of them, and they had never developed disease. These are people they couldn't get to come in, but they follow them. And then they had 15 people left over who they couldn't get in touch with in any way. And in their past reviews of charts, they found 4 did, they could still find a reason for 4 out of that 15. Really, virtually nothing helpful mm-hmm. discovered from these 1,500 tests in screening.
And certainly not every lab test was abnormal, so it's not like everybody's being harmed, but enough were abnormal, and you know what it's like when you, and I would be the same way. Any, you know, if you measure anything in me and it comes back abnormal, which, and I'm not talking about psychiatric testing, but if it came, but we all, in almost intuitively, even though we know the variation in lab tests, the variation in, you know, within different people and so on, it still makes us go, huh, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Even though we know, there's still something about us feeling that. And you know, when there's no, literally no benefit, you're not finding anything, you're literally just causing harm, even though it's not harming everybody. And that's why, you know, people who believe maybe in doing these things don't see that there's any harm, because, you know, most people aren't harmed, but nobody benefits.
Yeah, well, you're phoning them up and you're saying to them, look, you know, you have this positive test. We have to repeat it again. I know you love going to the lab, but and sure, most people will kind of brush it off and go, OK, it's probably nothing. The doctor told me it's probably nothing. But the fact is there will be some who will become quite anxious about mm-hmm. that. Yeah. And so let's delve into some of the others. So there were, like I said, there were 4 other studies on case finding, and I gave you the example of one, but the others were all similar. There's pre-op studies where screening was done. There's 4 observational studies. And don't forget, pre-op studies, these are now people who have problems and case finding too. So if screening is going to be effective, it's in these people. It has probably higher odds. So
potentially, because they have other health issues.
Right. So yeah. 4 observational studies, anywhere from 200 to 1,000 patients. And management changed in 0% in one study, 0% in another study, 0.2 in one of the studies. And here is a drum roll, because this is the only one that I found above 1%, mm-hmm. 2% change in management. So that's out of, now we're talking close to 15 studies, one where the change in management was more than a single percent.
Yeah.
So, and this isn't life and death stuff. It's just, well, we got to start you on iron or, mm-hmm. or what have you. For admission screening, there were 2 observational studies with around 300 patients each. 11% had abnormal screening, and less than 0.6%, 0.6% or less had a change in management. So you can see the vast majority have anywhere from 0 to 1% have a management change because of our screening.
And you can ballpark the numbers. You're going to find, you know, 5 to 10% of the people who you, for lack of a better word, screen will have an abnormal result that you got to then do something about.
Yeah, and yet you're really helping only 1 in 500, 1 in 200 tops. Yeah. And even if you do, because they're asymptomatic. So how do you measure helping them?
Yeah, when you're
catastrophic disease.
And I know in some of the stuff that you guys wrote, I mean, just because management changed, it doesn't mean that a patient actually benefited from it necessarily.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're asymptomatic, and you know that whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really tough to say how many actually benefited. Is definitely less than the number who had a change in management. We just don't know how far less.
Exactly. Yeah.
And none of them described the harms of investigation. Mm-hmm. So interestingly,
yeah. And you can easily, I mean, you could certainly say there's a cost to it.
Oh, there's a financial cost, yeah. But it's also a personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Who loves going to labs? It's not fun. A lot of the time you're forced to wait and
So, or you know, you can get an appointment, but then you still got to go, and then people take time off work, and no one enjoys having lab tests done, and I know it's going to hurt you, Mike. Nobody enjoys coming to see you.
Oh, James, see, my therapist. You know how when you say things, I've always been kind and considerate to you. At least that's my memory.
Yeah. Interestingly, we have 348 30-minute episodes that would prove you completely wrong.
Document the opposite.
Yes.
But those are false news, James. That's false news.
They're false negatives.
So let's talk about something, and I'm going to steal a bit of your thunder in the upcoming podcast, but
sure.
this is from a great article, which I've sent you and you'll mm-hmm. probably never read. But when when diseases are uncommon, so that means occurring in about 1% of the population, only 16% of abnormal results are real disease. So that mm-hmm. means 84% of the results that we're getting that are saying they're abnormal mm-hmm. are actually false abnormals.
It's
remarkable when you think about it, and it speaks to what we found in these what's been found in these studies, that 11% of them are abnormal, and how much we actually change care is 0.2% mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. And then 80% of abnormal leukocyte screenings were physiologic or test variants.
We'll spend more time talking about that in the upcoming podcast, where we do sort of a deep dive into that sort of stuff, because it's really fascinating. It's that the physiologic and test variances is a huge issue that we sort of talk about it, but we don't really talk about it.
Yeah, I know. We don't really talk about it with our patients, or even exercise that variance on a regular basis when we're interpreting mm-hmm. our lab. So, and 60% of abnormal CBC components normalize within 18 months. So these are just some of the things that we need to reflect on before we think we're doing something positive with these. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for things like colon cancer, which is one of the main reasons to screen with a CBC, there's better tests like the mm-hmm. FIT test. And when you look at places like the CDC, the U.S. Task Force, Choosing Wisely, they all recommend or don't recommend screening with a CBC, only really in pregnant women. Pregnant men, it turns out you don't have to screen for, James.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
I couldn't find anything on that. But for pregnant women, sometimes they just call it pregnancy, and I think they assume things. But
yeah, I don't think you need to add in pregnant women.
You really don't think so, eh?
No,
I'm trying to be inclusive here, buddy.
Well, you could say, you know, pregnant sheep, so that you don't know what came in the word after.
Yes, so humans.
Yeah, human
so
pregnancy.
Let's move on before we dig ourselves a hole mm-hmm. that we can possibly climb out of. And the last thing is, and this was research that I did with a group of docs across Canada, some in Ontario and some in Calgary, and it was really run by one of our ex-residents who's practicing now, doing fabulous, Daisy Fung. She and I did a study. We looked at what do residents order, primary care residents order, patients for screening, and it's been done in the States as well and all sorts, and they found that, again, as I mentioned right at the beginning, that about 70% of primary care clinicians would order a CBC on a healthy 55-year-old woman, and what we found is we did an analysis where we were looking for is there a test that is ordered excessively and ordered unnecessarily, maybe is the right word, mm-hmm. that then predicts if you're going to be an excessive screener. And of all the tests out there, CBC is the one that's the best predictor of which camp you fall in, someone who orders closer to the evidence, or are you someone who's ordering more based on past experience and hoping to screen for things and all of that kind of stuff? And CBC is this kind of what we would call a sentinel criteria. So if you're a CBC orderer, for screening, you're likely to be an over-orderer.
Yeah. And you know, if you're going to do an annual physical, annual health exam, that the CBC would be part of that. Would it not
Absolutely,
be?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that's yeah.
A lot of people think that it fits in. And, of course, that's what we're saying. This is the time where you put the pen down in that case and you focus on the things that we have evidence for and places like Choosing Wisely and the U.S. Preventive Task Force recommend the use of the CBC, yeah. And that is where they recommend against the CBC, recommend for things like a fit test and mammogram screening and all of those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think it would be of value because, you know, a lot of times we have to explain to patients the benefits and the treatments and all that sort of stuff, but we sometimes, and these are sometimes even harder discussions to say why we're not going to do it.
And, oh yeah, for
you know,
sure.
And it's tricky to go because if one doesn't have any experience with the variants associated with these tests, it would feel right, like the right thing to do. But you know, most of them would have no clue that there could be anything harmful from it, and that actually takes a while to explain. Like in fact, in our case, it took us, we're now at 23 minutes to explain why you should not be doing, you know, a CBC,
or a
screening CBC.
Yeah, screening CBC. I think, do we have a definitive, beautiful study done in Canada or the United States or any of the other countries that are listening in your country where we've studied, you know, 50,000 people on a CBC, followed up and seen the harms and seen the benefits and can weigh the quality of life measures and all that? We don't have that.
I
don't think we'll ever have it. So we have to go on the best available evidence. And it seems to quite clearly to me, James, you can correct me if I'm wrong, indicate that there's really nothing strong enough to indicate that we should be using a CBC in a screening exam.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to tell you that you're wrong, but in this case, I can't.
What? You'd prefer... It surprises me that you would choose to agree with me rather than disagree and be wrong just so you could disagree.
it's a very complicated relationship we have.
So let's sum it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, and we actually, I'm sure almost everybody knows what a CBC is, but just in case people are wondering, it's make sure I don't miss anything, but red blood cells, white blood cells, hemoglobin, hematocrit, and platelets. Those are the main, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about all of the other tests that you can do, you know, sodium and potassium and electrolytes. We're talking about just those particular blood count measures. And it appears, based on the best available evidence, that it really is of limited, if any, value at all. In fact, and potentially harm. Not that everyone's dying from them, but it doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah, and as you point out, if you were to look at all these studies, you'd say somewhere around 11% or less get an abnormal result. Yeah. But less than 1% require a change in management, and we have no idea how many actually benefit, and serious diseases virtually never found.
Yeah, so, and that, at least what we try to do when we give you that, so how do you, those key points that you just pointed out, Mike, are, you know, we're hoping healthcare providers have those somewhat on the tips of their tongue so that they can explain why they would not be doing, you know, a CBC. But, you know, for sure, when people are getting annual physicals or whatever, they're gonna say, well, let's just get a CBC just in case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, that's the trap, right?
Yeah, and so we've tried to explain why doing something just in case is pretty useless in this case. And you know, nothing good can come from this.
Go ahead. Extraordinary. I was just gonna say, it'd be extraordinarily rare and by chance. Now, I'm sure someone in the audience will be keen enough to write in and tell me a case where they used a CBC in screening and identified something horrific. And I too could drum up cases, not necessarily about CBC, but other things that I've found by good fortune rather than skill. But if you're identifying anyone with any symptom, that's a total, completely different ball of wax.
Absolutely.
But for screening, just,
Yeah, no, excellent. Excellent. Okay, so good job on that. So a few things. The Alberta course is coming up, the pipe course.
That's right.
Do you remember the dates?
There is a pipe conference. It's a conference where I have to talk like this until I can look up when the actual conference is.
Yeah. Would you like me to tell you when it is?
It's 20th and 21st of October.
And that's of this year.
Of this year, 2017.
Yeah. And I will do the same, but I actually can remember the date of our course because it's a really easy one in Vancouver. It's May the 4th, 2018.
And yeah, may the 4th be with you.
Yes, that is what we're going to, if you go to our website, that's the byline that we're talking about, may the 4th be with you. And I'm not going to tell you what the sort of theme might be.
No. Yeah. It has outrageous to say it's a Star Trek theme?
It is Star Trek because I don't like Star Wars.
It's a sad state of affairs.
No.
For you.
Yeah, no, I'm a Trekkie way more than a Star Wars guy, but I'll suck it up and do something fun.
Okay.
What else? So check out our website. This is a Tools for Practice, so it's everything that Mike just read off the Tools for Practice. You can just go read it in about a minute. So check that out. No, that's why...
Save yourself the agony.
Yeah, but no, that's the whole purpose of the Tools for Practice, is that people can read them in just a couple of minutes.
Right,
to get all the backgrounds, and they're really well done. So there, you can go see those at the Tools for Practice website. Go to our website to check out all of our podcasts and the tools and all that sort of stuff. And anyway, glad you're back, Mike. And I think we'll leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.